We are starting out this morning. I thought I'd take a short time and show a video that we put together. It's about 7 minutes, kind of highlights. It's hard to describe 2 years in a short period of time, but this way we'll show some pictures so that you can see some of the area where we've been ministering these past 2 years in Belize. And then I'd like to use just the Sunday school time just to talk with y'all and update on what's been going on. It's neat. I was reading in Acts this morning and going through the early church being started, and they're doing it the same way back then, and we're still just continuing that same philosophy now. But it was talking about the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they were coming back and updating the churches on what the Lord had been doing. And I don't want to try to compare with them, but I want to do the same thing this morning and update you. I know you've been praying for us faithfully and caring for us. I see the letters there. We hear from many of you when we're down there, and it's been such an encouragement. I know it's been 2 years, but it really doesn't feel like we've been away because we've been in communication. We know what's been going on here. And so let me try to get this video started for you. And after that, I'll give you some update on what's been going on in Belize. And then we'll have some time at the end for questions. If you have questions for me or my wife, I'll let her sit on the front row, but she can be heard from there. So we'll, if you have any questions for either of us at the end, we'd love to answer as we're able what your questions will be. Technology is great when it works, and when it doesn't, it makes me pray for the rapture. We were looking at that the other day, too. I think we spent about 2 hours on the phone, and still couldn't figure out the one issue he's been working on over there. All right, let me get this going. Well, we'll see. If we can't get it running right now, we'll try to either put it up this evening or maybe even for the next service if we can get it. But I'll see. I'll let you try to figure out. It's just stuck loading, so it might be frozen. Well, we've been in Belize for 2 years. So we moved there in October of 2018. And the Lord really blessed, even right from the start, moving down there. There was so much to try to figure out with how do you move your family to another country. Really, it was the first time I was moving with any number of things, let alone moving across in the U.S., but moving to another country. But the Lord allowed us to load a shipping container, one of those 40-footers, and we put our household items in and our vehicle in and put it on a boat bound for Belize and then caught our flights down there. And I know many were praying for that. I think my brother and father were over in Pensacola helping us load that. And I remember praying, Lord, I hope these things arrive, and I hope that it's a smooth transition into the country. And the Lord really blessed. We were able to get those items within about a month of shipping time, which is an incredibly, incredibly fast time for moving over there. So I know many, many prayers involved in that process. And right from the start, the Lord has been allowing us to be able to be involved in the ministry there. First few months, we helped a pastor down in the southern part of the country and helped him with his church. And then we have been praying through deputation and when we were moving there to start a church in the city of Belmopan. So Belmopan is the capital of Belize. There are about 25 to 30,000 people there. And as the time we were moving in, they didn't have an independent Baptist church in that entire city. And so we've really been praying that the Lord would allow us to go there and to start a church. And about 3 months after coming to Belize, we started getting settled. We got our items from the container, our vehicle. The Lord opened the door for us to move to Belmopan, just in time for Anna here to be born. And so we got up there and got settled in. And in January, along with the assistance of a veteran missionary couple that was in the same area, they're from our same missions agency, we started Faith Baptist Church in Belmopan, Belize. And, you know, how do you start a church? Well, really, all of it comes down to God's word and prayer. Sharing God's word with people, being in God's word ourselves, and praying that the Lord will work. And so we went around and printed some invitations and started inviting people to Faith Baptist Church, praying that God would work. And it was amazing to see during that first year period, some ups and downs, but the Lord started to bring some people into church, and the people started telling family or friends, and we started having a growing church. Also during that year, several individuals through the church or through visits in their home came and trusted Christ as their Savior. And we found, interestingly, you know, when I was first moving to the area, I was expecting more people to be kind of unfamiliar with God's word or unfamiliar with the concept of who Jesus is. And as we were there, we found that there have been some seeds planted ahead of us. And a lot of people have been exposed to God's word. They've heard the gospel. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't understand what that means for them. And so most, if you would talk to them and say, do you know for sure you would go to heaven when you die? They say, well, I believe in God, but I don't know what would happen. I would try to be good. I want to earn my way, but I hope that I would go to heaven. And so it's a great opportunity to build on that foundation of, well, you know who Jesus is? Yes, I know he's the Son of God. Well, let me tell you what he did for you. Got it working? All right. And so we'll play that here in just a second. But an exciting thing to see God working. You know, God's word, sharing God's word here in Alabama or in Pensacola where we are or down in Belize, it really comes down to the same way. We open the Bible and say, let me tell you what God has done for me, how he saved me, and how he wants to save you. And it's been so neat to see God's word working in lives. So let's show our video here. We'll give a quick update. And then I'll expound on that a little bit more. And then if you have any questions, be thinking of that. We'd love to try to answer those for you.
What is the most important thing we have learned after living on the field for 2 years? Our answer would be simple. Read God's word and pray. And then do it again the next day. And the day after that. And the day after that. How do you adjust to a new culture? Read God's word and pray. How do you plant a new church? Read God's word and pray. How do you plan for the future? Read God's word and pray. In this 2-year highlight video, we simply want you to experience how God faithfully works when you're just willing to follow his word. On October 19th, 2018, our family boarded an airplane and moved to Belize, Central America. We saw God's hand work over and over throughout this transition. We could see many prayers of friends and family being answered every single day. Just one example was our shipping container. It arrived in record time without any complications. And this and many other answered prayers allowed us to settle in very quickly. 3 months later, in January, God allowed us to start Faith Baptist Church in the capital city of Belmopan with veteran missionaries Mark and Brenda Leake. And the beginning process of the church required many hours of designing things, printing literature, making a logo, making a sign, and, of course, lots of outreach. One of the biggest highlights around that time was when the Bontrager family from the U.S. did a special concert at our church. We had a lot of first-time visitors, and it was just a great introduction to the community. Several of the people who came to the special service now faithfully attend the church.
Our greatest family blessing during this time was the birth of our first Belizean baby, Anna. The people in our church just immediately fell in love with our blonde hair, blue-eyed baby. Well, as the church began to grow, the Lord allowed us to build many relationships with Belizeans. The different church events brought in new visitors, and we also made a lot of great contacts through door knocking and tract distribution. And we made it our goal to visit every home in Belmopan. I especially enjoyed having people in our home to learn how to make different Belizean foods. You know, we found that gathering around a table for a meal was a great way to get to know people more. Really, just simply living life allowed us to make many contacts, whether in food shops, markets, hardware stores, or even just taking a walk as a family together in the evening.
That summer, our team missionaries, Sending Church and Pastor, came to run the first VBS at Faith Baptist Church. It was a great joy to see several children trust Christ as their Savior that week.
As the school year was getting ready to start, God also opened the door for us to get into two local schools for teacher trainings. They were very well received, and we were even able to pass out New Testaments and church invitations at the end of the meeting. We were incredibly thankful to have Bethany and Colleen Sink from Kansas join us in October to host a one-month reading program. Well, at the end of the month, we invited all of the parents to come to a big closing program. The children received certificates, and Jonathan was able to give a clear presentation of the gospel. It was especially encouraging to see one of the families start attending the church regularly afterwards.
As the church continued to grow, we saw more visitors attend different events, but the greatest joy was when we saw two separate families receive Christ as their Savior. What a joy to have our first baptism. In October, our team missionaries, the Leakes, began to see God leading them to help another ministry in Honduras. They are both fluent in Spanish, and they had a desire to get back to a Spanish work. So over the next couple months, they slowly transitioned out of the responsibilities of the church. By December, we were organizing and planning all of the Christmas events. We had a great time celebrating Christmas and New Year's with the church family. Then, at the beginning of January, we took over the church completely so the Leakes could finish preparing for their transition to Honduras. It truly was a blessing to be able to work alongside veteran missionaries through the start of the church plans. A new year brought many new adventures, and through your faithful monthly giving, we were able to purchase a small bus for the church. And after a new paint job and some lettering, it was ready to go. It has been a tremendous help to the ministry. Especially when we celebrated the church's one-year anniversary at the end of January, the bus was packed on the first Sunday we used it.
Jonathan's mom came to help us with our second reading class that spring. However, we had to cancel the final classes, and Jonathan's mom had to catch an early flight out of the country as COVID hit the world. Belize went into a heavy police-enforced lockdown. The borders closed, and people were required to stay in their homes. Many people immediately lost their incomes, so we began a food ministry with the people in our church. Every week, we would pack bags of basic food items along with some Bible tracts. Jonathan then went and delivered the bags to the church families, who passed them out to the people around them. It was a blessing to see our church get excited about simply being able to help the community. The ministry really allowed us to make some great contacts with several families, and after visiting with one of them, the father received Christ as his Savior. In the middle of the lockdowns, our sweet Julia Faith entered the world. She was a bright ray of sunshine during the pandemic.
At the beginning of June, we were able to move from our online services to meeting in person again. This came with heavy restrictions though, like social distancing, no children allowed, and only groups of 10 and under. But by the end of the month, many of the restrictions had lifted. We were so happy to get back to the normal routine again, of course with masks included. But it was short-lived because COVID cases began to skyrocket and the country went into another partial lockdown. Though the churches were shut down for a few weeks, they finally allowed groups of 10 or less to begin meeting. So in order to adjust to the new regulations, we started meeting for small Bible studies 3 nights a week. Our regular Wednesday Bible study, then on Saturday evening, I met with the men, and Elizabeth met with the ladies on Sunday evening.
One of the greatest disruptions to the country was the closing of their schools. Parents began educating their children at home with small packets that were provided by the schools. this was very new for most parents, as homeschooling had not been permitted for most Belizeans up to this point. Well, God laid it on our hearts to help them through this transition by offering free online seminars titled, How to Educate a Child at Home. The seminars were very well attended, and it led to the beginning of an exciting outreach through homeschooling. We started a countrywide Facebook page and began hosting Thursday evening seminars on just a variety of topics. This quickly developed a core group of parents. The possibilities for this opportunity are just endless. For now, we're preparing to start the first homeschool association in Belize next year.
We ultimately give God the glory for all that He is accomplishing here in Belize. What an honor that God chooses to use people to accomplish His will. People like you, who so faithfully give to help us reach the Belizeans for Christ. We could never thank you enough for your willingness to be part of God's great mission to reach the world. May we each continue to faithfully do our part for Him.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We truly are grateful for all that you've done for us. We can definitely say that none of those things that you just saw would have been possible without your prayers, without your support. And we know that the Lord is going to continue to work in these coming years. Keep praying for us, though. We've only been there 2 years. We're still new and learning a lot of things. We need a lot of wisdom as we continue to develop those relationships with the people that we have met, as we continue to reach out and seek more relationships with others. One of the things we mentioned was our goal was for was for 2020 that we would visit every home in Belmopan and give them an invitation to church and a New Testament or a Bible tract. But obviously through COVID coming in, we've not met that goal in 2020. So we're going to extend that to this coming year. And our goal is continuing to be able to reach that city. So keep praying that we'll be able to get to all of the homes in Belmopan and share God's word with them, whether in person, whether leaving something on their door or their fence, and to invite them to come and hear God's word. And continue praying for the country. Right now they're going through a lot of different situations. I'm sure you've heard about some of the hurricanes that came through, and thankfully they were just a little bit south of Belize. They came in and really slammed Honduras. Some of our friends there had some pretty serious damage. And Belize, we really just caught the rain side of it. So just 2 days before we flew up here to come back, do some paperwork that we have to for our children and then also see our family, the bridge, there's a couple bridges between our city and Belize City, the largest city where the international airport is, and one of the bridges washed out completely. I was watching online on the news site there in Belize, and they said, the bridge used to be here, and it was a picture of a whirlpool in the river. And they're like, we used to have a bridge there. And I said, I have to cross that bridge in 2 days. So we were praying a lot. I know Mr. Terry, Miss Page, we had sent them some things. They'd pray. We're trying to surprise my parents and just pray that we can find some way to get across. Well, praising the Lord, the water went down just enough. They were able to get something passable there. And so Belize is still recovering. Most of the damage was just along the river. So the river's kind of swelled out and took out some homes near there. But we're very thankful for, as a whole, the country's been pretty well protected from the hurricanes. However, one of the bigger impacts from COVID-19 and then from these storms has been more on the economic side. Most of the Belizeans rely some way, shape, or form on tourism, so people visiting. I think something like 60% of their national income is from tourism. And there's been almost no tourism this entire year because of the viruses and the weather and different things. So they're really hurting economically. That's why it's been such a huge blessing to come by and just take a bag of food. We just typically do some rice or beans, a little bit of flour, and buy it in 100-pound sacks and then bag it in small bags to pass out. And just to say, hey, we care for you, we love you, we want to know God loves you, and here's some food we can try to help your family and a New Testament Bible for you. And just to be able to share God's word and share the love from the Lord through ministries like that. So continue to pray for them. And then right now as well, pray that the Lord will help use us in the realm of education. As we said in the video, Their schools closed in March. My mom barely made it out of the country from the reading tutoring when she came to visit. She flew out, and I think 2 or 3 days after she left, the airports closed. And they were closed from then until October 1st. And so she just made it in time. But schools then, they closed in March. They went all the way through the summer and decided we're not going to reopen. And it was a very last-second decision. I think about 2 weeks before schools were supposed to start, they closed down again. Because for a little while in the summer, July and first part of August, we had almost opened back up. We were having church again, regular services. We even had a back-to-school event, and that was the last Sunday churches were allowed to be open. But right after that, it closed down. They said schools won't be opening. And that's left them really at a loss of how to educate their children this year. They said, well, the schools will send packets home so your children can do them. But each school makes their own packets, and they're different from school to school. Really, it's teacher by teacher, and so it's chaos there. One of the families in our church, their son, he gets his packets on Monday, and he's done with his week's worth of work by Tuesday afternoon. And so it's very, very light compared to what their education was previously. So really, really a challenge for them. But because of this, we've gone online through Facebook, some Zoom seminars, things like that, Skype meetings, and Elizabeth's done some training. Here's some tips for a parent to teach your child at home. Here's some resources you can use, practicing mathematics, practicing reading, and really focusing on those core subjects, reading, writing, arithmetic, history and science, not as much right now, but just focusing on survival for these parents. But through that, they've started to say, hey, is there resources that we can use to homeschool our children? There's got to be something that we can be doing at home. And previously, the country of Belize looked very unfavorably on homeschooling. They said, no, it's illegal for a normal Belizean to homeschool. And the only people that could do it in the country were people like us, international people working abroad in Belize. And so they would allow for us to homeschool, but we had to get special permission. But now everybody is doing school at home, and so they're ordering homeschool materials. And we're really praying to approach the Ministry of Education and some other realms and continue with that door that's been opened to bring not just homeschooling but Christian education to the country of Belize. You know, teaching them the core concepts that they need to succeed in life but from a biblical perspective. And so we're going to continue to try to support parents teaching their children at home, support schools using Christian curriculum, and it's a really big open door right now. But something else to pray for is that on November 11th, the Belize had our national election. So kind of similar to the U.S., this is their big every four to five years, and they have a new prime minister now. And it's a change in political party. So they went from the previous party being in power for about 12 years and have changed parties. And with that, it's pretty chaotic. They change everything. So the new prime minister appoints all of the officers over all the departments. So everybody that we had dealt with has changed since we've left. So when we'll come back, we'll find what new regulations are. But continue to pray that those doors that were open will remain open for Christian education. And I know Elizabeth's got plans to do some more with homeschooling. She's met a couple families in our city that are planning to homeschool along with us next year. We'll start Rachel in K-5, and one has a child, I think, doing first grade. And so she's going to be assisting them. They've been meeting during the lockdown and doing a craft time once a week, and they just set up their phone, and they do a little video call and go through a craft. And it's really opened doors for some good conversations, being able to share the gospel. And so keep praying for those. We have to get creative because we're not able to meet in person. So we're finding ways, using the blessings of technology when it works, and sharing God's word. So right now the situation in Belize is that we can meet in groups of 10 or less, and that's been about since August. So what we've been doing as a church is on Sunday mornings, Elizabeth and I go to my office, and we record a song service, and we put that on our Facebook page, and I send that to our people in church. And then I record a sermon. I just record the audio and send them the audio message of the sermon because they don't have very good internet data there. They pay by the megabyte for most of them. And so we send something that's a smaller file. And so we've been doing that for several months now. We try to go visit them during the week. And then since the last month or so, we've also been doing Bible studies in the smaller groups. So we keep it 10 or less, but we do a Bible study Wednesday night, prayer time. And then on Saturdays, I meet with the guys, the men, and it's kind of a group of teenagers, college age, and then a few a little bit younger. And we're studying creation and evolution and how the Bible talks about the beginning of the world and how science and the Bible relate together. And it's been really neat to see them having an excitement. They live in such a beautiful country surrounded by all of these amazing animals, these amazing plants, and to look at that and say, how can you not see this and see God's hand in creating that? And so it's been encouraging. And then Elizabeth's been doing a study with the women on Sundays, encouraging them, dealing with things that they might have been deceived by as they're looking at God's word. Some lies that they believe about, I guess really about themselves. But she's been saying it's opening so much conversation. It's amazing, you know, when you come to a church service, sometimes it kind of feels stiff and formal a little bit, and people are afraid to talk. I know I was. I would be afraid to raise my hand and say something in a service. But you get to a small group, and you're sitting around, and just having a conversation together, and it's been a lot more opening to see people asking questions. Hey, Pastor, what do you think about this? I'm thinking about, and some of the young men talking about decisions with their work or their schooling and what they're going to pursue. Some of the ladies talking to Elizabeth about some issues in the home and family. And so opening doors to minister to them. So keep praying for that as well. At this time, are there any questions that you have? I know it's been a lot going through here, but we'd love to take your questions, see specifically about what you have. I saw a hand over here, sir.
What percentage of the people average would have demon yet?
No, that's a good question. I don't know that I could give a number, but I would probably say on their phones, intermittent access, 50-60% maybe. Most of the Belizeans have some form of a cell phone, and what they'll do is as they have money, they can go to the store and they top up minutes. So they'll go and buy $5 worth of minutes, and with that, they put credit on it, and they can purchase minutes or data. So sometimes we'll message people from our church and we don't hear from them for 2 days. And they're like, hey, Pastor, sorry, I just got data again, got your message, and here's my response. And then they'll go down for a little bit. So it's very intermittent. I think the government's been trying to do some things so that school-age children get credits so they can use.
That's why I wonder about the school.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do it off the internet.
Yes. It's been a mess because it truly is. Some other missionaries in the area have started at their church where they have Wi-Fi. They set up a room with tables and computers, and children can come there and do homework and download some of their lessons. Because some of our students are supposed to go online and complete their work and send it in on a weekly basis. So it really has been a challenge for that because it's everywhere. In our city, it's more likely people to have access, but the further you get out, once you get out into villages, some of the more especially the Mayan village areas, they don't even have electricity, so their internet is pretty much non-existent. So I guarantee there's a lot of children falling through the holes getting no education this year. So we're definitely praying for that. It's a good question. Any other questions?
Spanish speaking?
So Belize as a country is English speaking. And primary English, so I've not run into too many people that don't speak English, but there are a lot of Spanish-speaking people there. There's about four or five cultural groups. There's a lot of Honduran and Guatemalan groups from right around speaking Spanish. There are three different types of Mayan communities, three different Mayan languages in the area, although their culture is pretty similar, but their language a little bit different. There's Garifuna people group, and that's more of a what you'd think of Caribbean peoples, like Jamaica, Haiti, Dominican Republic, that kind of people groups. And then there's a big Mennonite community, and they do a lot of the farming. They do a lot of the larger agricultural business. And then there's the groups like us. There's a lot of people from the U.S. have been moving down there, or Canada, Europe. That's probably the smallest group, but you run into those people from time to time. But all kind of in some ways like a melting pot like the United States, where people coming from all other places are coming down into Belize. But still a small population, about 400,000 people. So it's got a smaller feel to it. The Mayan Native American or Mayan Indian tribes, so they have they would call themselves the original Belizeans, having been there from back thousands of years. But they tend to live more in the rural areas, and then the cities are more of the Garifuna and Spanish people groups. Other question? Yes, sir.
I got two, actually.
Okay.
You got people coming, but are you having people getting saved?
Yes, sir. I can't say we have people saved every week, but throughout the past 2 years, pretty consistently, every few months, we've been able to see someone come to the Lord. Sometimes gaps in between that, but we saw a mother and then one of her daughters trust Christ as their Savior early on, and then through visiting, we were able to lead a husband to the Lord. Pastor Mark and I went and led the man to the Lord, and Pastor Mark's wife shared the gospel with his wife, and about a week later, she called back and said, "Hey, I've been thinking about what you've been sharing. I want to do this," and she came back out and led her to the Lord. And then even during COVID-19, the people that's come to our church regularly, and I believe that she's saved, had been burdened for her brother-in-law. She said, "Pastor, my brother-in-law lives just around the corner from me. Would you go see him?" And so I stopped by and took him a bag of food and was able to witness to him, went through the gospel. He hadn't been feeling very well, so I was praying for him and shared the gospel. Left him a Bible tract, John and Romans, and he sent me a message the next day. He said, "Pastor, you know, you were talking to me about that, and I really do believe what you were saying. You know, I've been confused, but I gave my life to the Lord last night." And so it's exciting to see, and we're continuing to pray for that. It's where we kind of see seeds have been planted. Many times I'm not telling them about Jesus Christ for the first time, but we're helping using the Bible to continue to share the gospel with them, to water that seed that's been planted, and to sometimes clear up some confusions that they've been having. A lot of people, it's really kind of become the chief mindset there that I have to earn my way to heaven. So I have to be going to church. I have to be doing these things to get salvation. But when you're trying to earn your way, you never know if you've done enough. And so that's where you're talking to people and they're like, "I hope so, but I don't know." And I take them over to 1 John where the Bible says that you can know that you know you have eternal life. And I said, you can know, and then go through the gospel with them and help them understand it's Jesus Christ alone. And so it's neat to see that as that kind of comes through in their mind. A lot of people know Jesus as the Son of God, but they don't understand what he has done for them personally, and that it's only him. And so neat to see as they make that decision, they come to that understanding.
You said tourism was the largest portion of their national income. What's their claim to fame that draws the tourists?
They have a lot of seafront property, so a lot of seacoast. So most of the tourists come down and they stay on the water. And Belize has the second largest or the second best barrier reef system in the world. So next to Sydney, Australia, you can go to Belize and swim and snorkel in the coral reefs, and it's some of the most beautiful area. So a lot of people come down for that. Another draw would be the Mayan old world ruins. They have a lot of Mayan kind of ziggurat temple things, and people will come and tour that. Or just a large part of their jungle is still untouched. So you can come and you can do jungle tours and see howler monkeys and toucans, look for jaguars. So a lot of people come and do like a nature tour or stay more on the coast and enjoy the beaches. So that's the two main areas. They don't have a lot of infrastructure. You wouldn't come to Belize if you want to eat at a restaurant that you'd recognize from the U.S. We don't have any U.S. franchises, so we haven't seen McDonald's, anything like that. But they come down and it's more of that rural, just kind of a getaway, a jungle adventure type feel to it.
They have Dollar General going
there? I wish. we call them China shops. Most of the grocery stores are owned by Taiwanese, Chinese people. And they've come and it's kind of a lot of the industry has come from other people outside of Belize coming in, being industrious. The Mennonites have done phenomenally well because they've come in with a good work ethic and they're clearing the ground, and they're putting farms in, so they have a dairy and doing very well with that. And then a lot of the Taiwanese people have come in, started shops, and that's the lifeblood in countries like that, because a lot of people don't have good transportation. So the closest shop to your house is the one that you're shopping at, and so they're popping up small stores all over.
Speaking of transportation, I noticed the Florida tag when you backed your...
Yes, sir.
Did you have to...
That's, we're borrowing that from my mother-in-law, so it's been a blessing. Oh, in Belize? Yes, so when we moved, we shipped a Toyota Sequoia down there, and so registered it in Belize, and I just had to renew it right before we left to come here. And it's not quite as expensive as here. Insurance is lower, but I think you also get less when you have a claim too. So they have those things. License plates are a little bit less available. So we got the bus and we registered it February of this year, and I didn't have a tag for it because I went to get it and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're out." But it's all right. Just here's a note. Guy kind of wrote handwritten, "Sorry, we don't have tag. Excuse him." And you know, I'm supposed to show that to the police. And he's like, they'll let you through. Yeah, right. So finally, a couple months ago, I finally went back and renewed my driver's license. And said, "Hey, do you have tags again?" They're like, "Yeah, we got some." And put them on the plates. But so you see vehicles driving around all the time with no plates on them. And you're just like, "Oh, I guess they probably didn't have one at wherever their office is." If you live in the city, you get a plastic driver's license. If you live outside the city, you get a driver's license. It's just a piece of paper laminated with... either tape or they have those heat shrink laminator things. So a little bit different setup than we're used to here. But a lot more relaxed too. They don't have any police radar sites. So they don't set up, they don't have police cruisers going around looking for traffic violations. They'll set up cones in the road and you come and you say, "Oh, there's a police checkpoint up there." And so you pull up, lower your window, they check your registration, your insurance, and then might ask you a question where you're going. But they don't just have police vehicles sitting around. So it's kind of a different feel. Crime, that type, like accidents, things like that, aren't as common. Crime itself is quite serious. There's a lot, I mean, petty theft, things like that are so common, it really doesn't ever make the news. I was reading recently, they were saying that about 80% of all of the violent crimes, murders, assaults, things like that, 80% or more are never even brought to a prosecution because they never find out who did it. Several times in our city, people have been killed, and they're like, "Yeah, we saw so-and-so, someone shot this person. We know who did it, but we can't prove it, and there's nothing that happens." Just during COVID, we have one prison in the country, kind of about halfway to the between where we live and the international city with the airport, and 28 prisoners escaped one afternoon because they were worried about getting COVID-19 in the prison, and so they just said, "Let's get out of here." And they've been on the run for a while. I think they caught most of them now, but they're still looking for a few. And so things like that, it's just kind of commonplace.
Bring up next question.
Yes, sir.
Arms.
Right, right. They're very, very strict on that. So I've looked into that quite a bit. You cannot have a firearm. It's very, very difficult. I think there's a process I have to go through with the police and pay a large amount of money. I have to buy one there, and I think it's around $500 US per year per firearm that I would have. And then with that, I would have to have it. If it was in the vehicle with my wife and I wasn't there, they would take her to jail because she didn't have the permit. So it's a very difficult thing to have that. And you can only have about 100 rounds of ammunition. They allow air rifles since they're not firearms. So I have two air rifles. Well, I have an air rifle and a little pellet pistol. I shoot rats with it out of our mango tree, but it's not so great for, you know, home defense, something like that. Our home defense are two German shepherds. I named them Ruger and Mauser. So that's my, in lieu of guns, I'll have the two dogs. But
currency exchange.
Currency? Yes, sir. It's fixed to the US dollar right now, so two Belize dollars equals one US dollar. So it's nice when you go down shopping, you'll see a price, and you just subtract it in half to equal what it is in US. So like cost of fuel down there is something like 10, 11 Belize per gallon. So it comes out to about 550 US per gallon for gasoline. Any other questions here? I think we got maybe 2 or 3 minutes before break between services. And Elizabeth's in the back, so if you have a question for her, I'm sure she'd love to answer as well. I know she loves to talk about some of the creatures that get into our homes sometimes.
Well,
a bat. Yes,
sir.
Yeah. In fact, on top of our refrigerator in our house, so if someone does break in, they'll be in for a surprise. We have a little plastic container, and we have a tarantula in there that I caught for my daughter Rachel. So she named it Charlotte, and she has Charlotte the tarantula as a pet right now. All right, maybe one more question, and then we'll take a break. If anyone else has a question. Yes, ma'am. Kind of comes both ways. We've gotten calls from people who said, hey, we're in Belize on vacation. We just found out that you're a missionary there. We're from a Baptist church in the States. We'd love to see you. And so we'll meet with them for lunch. So if you're passing through, feel free to let us know. Or if you want to say, hey, can I come down a certain time and spend a day, we could try to maybe show you part of the area, something like that.
What's your favorite food that y'all pick for lunch?
I think...
It's rice and beans.
Yes, yes.
Coconut milk.
What kind of beans?
A black bean. Or you can do red, but we prefer the black with the coconut milk rice.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mixed together, so the rice turns a little bit black.
It's good. They make a phenomenal, phenomenal barbecue chicken. That's kind of their staple, like Belizean food would be rice and beans with a barbecue chicken, a little bit of coleslaw. And we've started on Sundays after a long day for church services, bus route. We'll go and pick up some from a little place right by our house and look forward to that. It's really a tropical climate. So the coldest temperature ever recorded there is 52 degrees. So we beat that record since we've been back here a couple nights. But quite pleasant, very, very humid, yes. One of the biggest things getting used to for us was the fact that whatever it is outside is pretty much the same temperature as going to be inside your house. And so that's been an adjustment for us, is when it gets really hot, we avoid going out. People ask me sometimes, you're from Belize, why aren't you, super tan? I'm like, when it's 90 degrees inside my house, I have no desire to go sit in the sun for an hour and then come inside and it's still that hot. We have some split units that we'll use from time to time, so if it gets really hot, we can close up room by room and we'll put those on. But we typically don't run them very much, kind of two reasons. One, it's a lot more expensive to run electricity there than here in the U.S., so we keep the budget down. And number two, we found that if we're in air conditioning much, that in and out is like a shock to our system. And so we've adjusted better to just say, only using it when we really need some relief, and try to just, we use fans all the time though. So we'll sit in front of a fan. I think we've got about 10 or 12 fans all throughout the house. And so it's worked a lot better for that way. All right. Yeah, that's right. They'll be ready. All right, well, we'll dismiss now. I'll close in prayer, and we'll have break time. If you'd like to keep asking questions, feel free to talk with us, and then we'll resume back for our next service. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people and their love for you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to help us all where we are, do our part to share God's word. And Lord, I pray that you will be with them in their search now for a pastor. Lord, provide a godly man who'll be a good leader and an example here in this community. And Lord, I pray now all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.